Well, the Jersey Boys are back. Last time in Australia, over 1.6 million people came out to experience the story behind the vocal talents of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. And a new cast is going to bring a new Jersey Boys back to audiences across Australia next year. And I sat down with Bernard Angell, Glaston Toft, Cameron McDonald and Thomas McGuan, the new Jersey Boys, to find out what makes the show such a success. Bernard Angell, who plays Frankie Valli, reflects on the captivating story of these four guys.
The characters are so interesting, you know, like they grew up Italians in New Jersey alongside the mob, you know, so they had pretty interesting contacts as well, interesting friends. So it's a fairly, different world to, you know, the way I grew up.
Yeah. When I saw it last time, I kept thinking of, you know, a bit of The Sopranos, you know, but you'd be in those same streets as they were and that sort of thing. One of the things that makes this interesting a bit better than some of the other collection of songs type musicals is that it's the story, isn't it? And each one of you takes the narrative at one stage. Mm. And who's it that starts it off?
It's my character, it's your Tommy character. DeVito. Yeah.
Okay. Cameron, give us a bit of rundown on Tommy. What's his?
Well, I've been saying all day, he's sort of a bit of a rascal. He was responsible for bringing the group together. Certainly was, you know, a hustler at the time, and he was able to you know, get them gigs. And he was aware of what was popular at the time. He was able to bring members into the group and out of the group and all that kind of stuff to, like, try and move with the times. He was aware that they needed to do something in order to get out of New Jersey and succeed. So he was hugely important right there at the very beginning. He was the founder of the group. And then he was also responsible for the majority of the drama within the group. He got himself mixed up with a lot of gambling debt. By today's standards, something like $50 million, which the group paid out collectively.
Wow, that's a lot of money, isn't it?
It's a lot of money. He was, I say rascal. I believe he's still a lovable character, but he got up to all sorts.
And who was next on the lineup? Who takes over the narration after that?
Then it's my character,
your
Bob
character.
Gaudio.
And Thomas, this is your debut, is it?
This is my debut.
Theater. Wow.
Yeah.
What did it feel like when you got your name read out and it was you?
Speechless, really. Yeah. I got the phone call and didn't know what to do, so I ran down the hallway. it was pretty. It's pretty incredible. It was so exciting, and then, like, strikes of fear every now and then. It's like, oh my god, I've got this major responsibility in this show. But in all essence, like, I'm thrilled and I'm really looking forward to it.
And so this character takes over the narrative.
Yeah. So he,
and why is he next, do you think, in the lineup?
I think he's next because I feel like I guess I don't know what Marshall Brickman and Rick Ellis were thinking while they wrote that story, but I think, like, a lot of this success that happened early on in the Four Seasons career had a lot to do with the things that sporadically popped into Bob's head. And I think that's also where he had a lot of experience going from being a young teenager or like a young adult into experiencing these life things. Like, Oh What a Night is essentially like his first time out and about and like trying to get kinky, you know, all that sort of thing. So, it's like all about his first experiences, so I think that's his time where he flourishes into an adult.
Then next we have
Nick Massey takes over the.
So we're leaving Frankie Valli till the end. I'm gathering here.
Frankie Valli is.
I mean, I have seen it, but I'm just, you know. Okay. And you've been in a bunch of shows recently, haven't you? What makes this different when you're in something like Jersey Boys? Is there something a bit different about it?
You know, there really is something different about it, and I really think it's hard to kind of pinpoint exactly what is different about the show. You know, you can talk about the music or the story or, you know, these characters and the fact that it's all true, but there's really something kind of magical about it that is kind of, you know, it's not, you can't just replicate this type of show, you know. I mean, we're talking about, it starts off in the 50s, you know, these guys in and out of prison, mixed up with the mob, who against all odds sell 175 million records. And there's something really kind of magical to be on that journey with these guys. And them
if you wrote a fictional story like this, you'd get an award, wouldn't you? And but it's actually a true story.
It is. I mean, that's one of the great things about it. It is a true story, yeah. I mean, nothing's made up. They blur some of the timelines for, I mean, it's hard to fit four people's life story into 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
But, they seem to, you know, do that, and people love it.
And does everyone that's got one of these fabulous parts, do you have to be a triple threat, as you say, in the business?
This show really do, you know. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to do different things on stage, and often you're just showing one of your threats, but with this show, you really got to be able to do it all.
all the threats are going to be taxing.
It's a really taxing show, you know. We're busy physically, vocally, and with our chops as well. You know, the acting chops in the show are huge, you know. There's, you know, they're really kind of strong characters.
Yeah, we're essentially narrators of our own lives, so whilst we're trying to lead the audience along with this story, we're also trying to act it out for them, and there's two different energies to that. There's flipping it out and make sure they understand, and then there's being committed to this.
It's a manpower show, you know. A lot of shows can ride off the back of their sets and costumes and whatnot, but we don't have that. We're just four guys up there telling a story, really,
and
with some good tunes.
We don't take our clothes off.
Okay, well,
other than that, it's a manpower show.
But I mean, it's one thing to sell a song, isn't it? But if you've got to keep it going, you've got to be the character the whole time. Mm-hmm. That adds another dimension to it. Now, I guess that's kind of the musical theatre angle of it, isn't it? You have to keep that character going and convince people in your speaking part as well as your vocals. Mm-hmm. Is that the difficulty in doing the show?
There is. I think a large portion of that is the casting as well. I think they cast people that naturally have that instinct. I mean, you know, even just looking at Bernard, you can kind of tell that he's got a flair for Frankie Valli and who he is. He's got that. You know, just the way he presents himself and his vibe. You can kind of just see certain aspects of people's characters in themselves. Yeah.
And perhaps segueing across there beautifully. Thank you very much, Bernard. Bernard, the vocals of this, it's daunting, isn't it? Because Frankie Valli is so recognisable, and those high falsetto-y things. And how do you do all that?
A lot of preparation, you know. It is amazing what can, just how far the voice can kind of be stretched. Yeah. You know, it's not like I used to sing in this kind of Frankie Valli range as a teenager when I first started singing. You know, it's something that I worked on and kind of progressed with.
How did you come across this particular show? Did you think, oh, this is a part made for me, or just think, yeah, I could do that?
No, I'd been out of uni drama school for about a year when it got announced. And I remember auditioning for just someone in the ensemble originally, you know, back originally. And it was after one or two callbacks that they had me for Joe Pesci and understudy for Frankie. And that was about the time where I thought, oh, maybe I do suit that.
I mean, this show was on for 4 years here. I'm sure you know all the stats. It was 1.6 million people. Mm. I know I was in Vegas just a bit over a year ago, a year and a half ago, and it was still the number one show then. Mm-hmm. Everyone wanted to go and see it then. Is it just the songs, or I think it's a bit more than the songs?
Yeah.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. There's just, we were trying to describe the essence of why it works in this country. And I think that the themes that are common throughout really do resonate with Australian audiences. You know, mateship, the genuine underdogs that these guys were, just actually their ability to succeed when they had no right to. You know, these guys were going to prison and they were incredibly poor. And, you know, you didn't really have a music career off the back of that kind of, you know, life. Yeah. But they did. And so I think Australian audiences just grab at that underdog vibe.
And it's not just, like, I wrote down, oh, you know, it's four guys, it's feel good, four guys make good, but it's not just that, because they don't all make good, really, do they? They have a lot of failures in their own personal lives.
So. It's a roller coaster. You do get a window into their lives.
Yeah, it's a warts and all kind of portrayal of these characters. You see them doing the good things and also making mistakes and then having to deal with their mistakes.
And the band too, I would guess, is a great motivator in the show. I remember seeing the drummer gets pushed around. You've got to push him around in different spots, haven't you? Because one of the first ones that was here, I knew the guy that was a drummer. I think, oh yeah, he was a great guy. But he goes the whole time, doesn't he? He gets one song off or two songs off.
Hatchie, who was that drummer. And he was with the show for the whole time. And it's a big part for him. And it's a really helpful part for us on stage too, because there's a lot of energy going on, you know, that he gives off. I mean, technically, yes, you've got the, you know, the beat and all that type of stuff, but it's also just that kind of percussive energy that is going on stage right next to you as well. That's really helpful.
It's that diegetic presence that we're actually performing this music. It's not just, it's not in a music theatre sense just happening. It's the idea is that we're performing these songs and have, and I guess that energy, that sense that there's a presence there of a band really helps with that.
Wow, I'm going to have to look up diegetic, but
the drummer's the fifth season, like there's no question in my mind, because Hatchie was brilliant at it, but occasionally you'd have someone come in and replace him on a day off. It's a tough gig.
Yeah, and you think, wait a minute, there's something different, you know, it puts you off a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, look, I think we might have to leave it there because you've got to move on to other things, but thanks very much for coming in. What song do you think we should go out on?
Ooh.
Which one do you guys like? What do you enjoy the most?
Can't go past Can't Take My Eyes Off You, can you? Just for that romantic edge.
Yeah, all right, I'll do that. I'll put that on. Bernard Glaston, Cameron Thomas, thanks so much for coming in to see us here.
Thank you very much.